Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy of all honor, all praise. We cannot praise Him enough. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 is going to be a topical type message, so we will be turning in our Bibles quite a bit tonight. If you're interested in following along, I encourage that. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, there's a little phrase in Hebrews chapter 11 in the description of the story or that part about Moses that I'm interested in tonight, and I'm interested in preaching a message called Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the Invisible. Here in Hebrews chapter number 11, most people will call this the Hall of Faith, and the idea of the different Bible characters that are known to be exceptional in some portion of their life about faith. And here in this, there's a little phrase at the end of verse number 27 that says, seeing Him who is invisible. And tonight when we look at this and we understand and preaching a message about how we look for the invisible, how we walk by faith, not by sight. This past Wednesday night we preached a message on the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. And tonight we're going to talk about looking for those things. And it might be a little bit of a reminder we learned about this past summer about believing to see the goodness of God. But where we're going to characterize at the end and the spot that I want us to focus on is dangerous not to see or the invisible things. It's dangerous not to see those invisible things. It's dangerous not to believe to see the goodness of God. It's dangerous not to be able to look for the things God has in store for our lives. So we're going to start here in Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to look at the story of Moses. And there's three different things I want you to see here. Seeing the invisible will amaze you. Seeing the invisible will amaze you. So what do you mean? Well, let's look what the Bible says here, because there's some amazing things that happen in scriptures when people chose not to live according to the elements of this world or according to their circumstances, but by faith chose to see the invisible things that God was going to work in their life, and they did some amazing things. And let's look here in first Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's look in verse number 24. We'll see a description here. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We see that he is raised in Pharaoh's court, probably trained by the best that money has to buy. And he says, no longer do I want to be considered a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why would he do this? Well, verse 25 continues, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he has a choice here. He can suffer the affliction with the people of God, or he can choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I mean, that pleasure versus affliction. I mean, who would want to choose affliction? Well, see, that's what Moses does here. And, you know, it's sometimes we shun the fact that, that we might face some type of affliction or some type of hardship for living for God. But we see in the story here, Moses, when he got to a certain age, when he came to the realization, look, I don't want to be associated with Pharaoh's daughter. I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God and then enjoy the pleasures of sin. Verse 26, you know, why would he do this? Is he nuts? I mean, would he rather have affliction versus pleasure? Let's see what it says in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And this, you got the reproach of Christ, and then you got the treasures in Egypt. So, what would you choose? You have reproach versus treasures. I mean, why in the world would he choose this reproach? Why would he choose this greater riches that are found in Christ than the treasures in Egypt? Let's keep on going. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And see, if you're seeing the invisible will amaze you. The first thing is you got to remember it's God's reward. If you can keep your eyes focused on the reward of God, you know what? It will amaze you what God can do with your life. Let's keep on going. It says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I think about this, and this reminds me of the passages of scriptures. Go back to verse number 13 in this chapter. You got a description of those that had Abraham and those before him. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They believed in the invisible things. They believe in the future. They believe in what the reward that God had for them, and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded by these invisible things, these things that we cannot see with our eyes, persuaded them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they were they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, if they had been mindful of the things that they could see and the things that they could touch from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So here's the idea, is that they were able to see afar off. They were able to see these things that were invisible. They were able to see the reward of God. And when we come to Moses' life and Moses' story, he had a choice. Call Pharaoh's daughter, live in luxury, have the treasures of Egypt. Or he had chose the invisible things, keeping his eyes on the invisible one, facing affliction, enduring the reproach that he would have to face, enduring the wrath of the king, and he chose to believe to see the goodness of God. He chose to see the invisible things in our lives. And what, hopefully what this message will help us understand is there is so much more going on in this world than that our eyes see. There is a spiritual realm that our eyes do not see, and there is a spiritual battle that goes on for the souls of mankind, and there is a spiritual battle that goes on for those that are saved, and that the idea that God does not want you to live for them. And we're not talking about some type of mystical thing. We're talking about things that are displayed in the Bible, angels and demons, and how there is an invisible world. And if we choose to live according on a spiritual realm or spiritual plane, it will change how we live our lives. It can amaze you. You see what happened in Moses' life, what God did for Moses. Those 10 plagues that he brought. You see in verse number 28, he says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest that he destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. I mean, that's one of the greatest miracles in all the Bible, I think, that they could take the sea and they could part the Red Sea, and that those 1 million to 2 million, even more maybe, that walked across on dry land. That is amazing. And it's amazing if we choose to see the invisible things of God and by faith, walk by faith and not by sight, we will be amazed what God can do in a life. We will be amazed with how he rewards us. But not just about how he rewards us, but think about how he protects us. Take your Bibles to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, you see a story about God's protection. And anytime I think about seeing the invisible, I think about 2 Kings chapter number 6. And you'll see in a second why. 2 Kings chapter number 6, there is a king of Syria who wanted to destroy Israel. He was out, he had a bigger army than Israel, he was stronger than Israel, but God was on Israel's side. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to start off in verse number 9. It says, 2 Kings 6, and says, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The Syrian army would group together and they bring all the generals. They probably sit around some big table and they would sit there and talk and says, okay, we want to destroy the Israelite army. We want to be able to go over and we want to be able to plunder and be able to plunder them and take all their things. We want them to be our slaves. So they would map out different times and spots where they knew the Israel army was supposed to go and they would lay in ambush. Well, in verse number 9, we see something interesting. Elisha, the man of God, would go to the king of Israel and say to the king of Israel, king, you don't want to go this way. The Syrians are going to be waiting for you. Well, this did not sit very well with the king of Syria. Look what it says in verse number 10. And the king of Israel was sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. This happened many times. Verse number 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And he gets all these generals together and says, okay, which one of you are the spy? There's somebody in this room that is telling the king of Israel. And verse number 12, one of his servants explained it to him. And one of his servants said, none, my lord. O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy. He finds out Elijah's the one that's telling the king. God's telling Elijah. Elijah's telling the king. And verse number 13, and he said, well, we'll fix this. We'll go get Elijah. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. Now, he sends a whole entire army after one man. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So they're all up there on the mountaintops. Elisha is in the valley, in the city. In verse number 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he gets up early and he gets preparing for the day. And what happens? And gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And a servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, he's there. He wakes up in the morning. He's rubbing his eyes. He's going out to get the water to be able to maybe start breakfast and things like that. And he wakes up and he sees all around him. He sees an army. There are chariots. There's horsemen. There's foot soldiers. And they're all there and they all want Elisha. And he gets afraid. I don't know about you. That would be kind of fearful. You wake up, first thing you see in the morning is this entire army waiting to capture your master. And he says, what are we supposed to do? And it says in verse number 18, verse number 17, he says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, this man is not blind, obviously, from physical things. Obviously, he had just seen the army. He had just seen the chariots. He had just seen the horses. He just seen the horsemen. He saw all the soldiers. But Elijah asked the Lord to open up his eyes to see the spiritual protection that God had provided. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, a fire round about Elisha. So, in a spiritual sense, God was protecting Elisha, and all around the mountaintop was a army of fire, which is pretty amazing too. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that if we are willing to see the invisible, if we're willing to keep our eyes on the reward as Moses did, we will receive that reward. It might not be here in this world, but the greater reward we will face, the riches that are found in Jesus Christ, is something that will amaze us. If we are willing to do what God wants us to do and not shy away from what God's commandments is getting us to do, God will protect us in a supernatural way, as he did with Elisha. Does it not mean that you're not going to have to give your life up? No, there are times we see in the Bible where people give up their lives. But God's protection is something that will amaze us. And it amazes us over and over to hear the stories of how God was able to protect his people. Now, some people say, well, oh, that's just a fairy tale. That's not. That's God seeing things that are invisible. He said, well, Elisha must have saw that. I don't think Elisha saw that himself. Elisha already had the faith to believe that God was going to protect him. He had to open up the eyes of that servant that did not see the invisible things. This evening, I want us to encourage us, look for the invisible things. See the invisible things that are found in the Word of God. Believe in the invisible things. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't let circumstances dictate what we do. We don't let trials dictate how we're going to respond to things. We allow God and His purpose to speak to our hearts. Let's take our Bible now to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. We're trying to lay a foundation here about seeing the invisible things and understanding how God works through things that we cannot see at times. Acts chapter number 16. You have the story that's familiar with many of you about Paul and Silas in jail. They've been beaten. What have they done here? They have healed a little girl that was a soothsayer, a fortune teller. Her boss has made a lot of money, but Paul and Silas, they cast out the demon. And because they cast out the demon, their masters got a little bit upset. They got a little bit furious, and they began to make accusations about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were beaten. They were thrown into jail. And we see here, as most of us know this story, at midnight, they are singing the praises of God. Now, how can a person that has received many stripes, a person that has been beaten bloody and by scourging and thrust in pain-racking stocks, sit there and sing and praise God? They looked past the physical and they saw the invisible. They saw the purpose that God had planned. Let's look here at Acts chapter 16. Let's see what they're doing in verses 23 through 25. Acts 16 verses 23 through 25, it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25 is it can only be told of someone who is choosing to believe to see the goodness of God, choosing to see the invisible way that God works in His purpose. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, I know most of us know this story. Now, because they chose to see the goodness of God, because they chose to see the invisible things, because they chose to believe in the God's purposes for their lives, instead of that man falling on their sword, that man fell on his knees and begged them and says, "Tell me how to be saved." Now, would that have ever happened? Would that have ever happened if Paul and Silas wasn't praising God? If Paul and Silas was not choosing to believe or seeing the invisible things, if Paul and Silas did not do those things, that man probably would have fell on his sword. He wouldn't have heard the praising of God. He wouldn't have heard the singing of God. God used that in his life to be able to bring him to conviction and say, "What must I do to be saved?" I want you to understand, the Bible talks about believing by faith in the things that we cannot see, believing in a God that we cannot see. The just shall walk by his faith. And seeing the invisible will amaze you. You hear the story of Moses, and that amazes me. You see the story of Elisha's servants' eyes being opened. That is amazing how we see God's hand of protection in our lives, and how we hear the stories of the missionaries, and how we hear the stories of how God even brought our nation and protected our nation, and how God, when he has his plan and purpose, the protection that God can give us. But we also see God's purpose here. Because they chose not to be discouraged. Usually, if we had been beaten, if we had been bloodied, if we were sitting in an uncomfortable circumstance, we would not be praising God. We would be complaining about our situations. The pain normally would galvanize a man's attention toward his physical circumstances. The pain would have just caused us to focus on that and that alone. But no. They choose to see the unseen realm. They choose to look past the pain, the scars, the blood, the chains, and they see that God has an eternal purpose he's trying to work out in their lives. They're seeing the invisible. And I know this is tough sometimes, and it's hard. But if we can look past the things of this world and keep our eyes focused on him, the invisible things will amaze us. The second part of the message, that was seeing the invisible things will amaze us. Second part of things I want you to think about is what you don't see can hurt you. What you don't see can hurt you. You ever had a child that leaves things laying around? I got one son that's really good at leaving stuff around. I'm not going to say which one, but I bet you could guess which one it is. So, but he loves leaving stuff. But you know, if it's dark out there and if a child leaves, I don't know, a toy on the steps and you're walking down the steps and you don't see that, guess what? That can hurt you. What you don't see can hurt you. And in the spiritual realm of things, what you don't see can really truly hurt you. You think about the different things that we don't see that hurts us. Think about the invisible bacteria that sometimes attaches itself to food. I remember one time, the 1 year I was in Bible college, I was working at the midnight shift, but our pastor had left and they needed a Bible teacher. Had never done that. I taught junior church for a lot of years, and I thought it'd be cool to have a little bit of experience. So I taught Bible, so they would feed us lunch at the school cafeteria. And I know all the kids realize school cafeteria is the greatest food in all the world, right? No, it's not. But they had chicken salad, and they had just regular salad like lettuce. So one of the teachers, it was a friend of mine, suggested put your chicken salad on the salad and eat it that way. And I tried it once. It was good. So I tried it for a couple of days in a row. One day, I ate the chicken salad, and I got really sick the rest of that day. I don't know what was wrong with it, but there was something on that chicken salad that I couldn't see, but it really hurt me. The things that we don't see can really hurt us. You think about the undetected computer virus. I'm not a computer guy. I like using my computer. I like using technology. But when a virus comes into your computer, it can affect your computer, it can affect your network, And it can hurt you. It's happened to me before. It really messes up your day. If there's something that happened, they're like, I got too much work to do. I can't deal with it. We don't see what's causing it, but it's something that can hurt us. We think about the buildup of cholesterol and plaque in our arteries. These are things that we do not see, but they can make significant changes in our lives. You think about a growing mass of a cancerous tissue, something we cannot see, but they can affect our lives. See, these scenarios are familiar to us, and what do responsible people do? Responsible people make sure they don't eat food that has bacterium. Responsible children make sure that they don't leave their toys on the steps out there in the middle of the night. Responsible people will go to the doctors and have their cholesterol tested and things like that. And in the spiritual realm of things, responsible people will choose to see the invisible things. And the Bible talks about, is it dangerous? It is dangerous. Life is more dangerous when you can't see. Life is more dangerous when you can't see. There are things that we can't see that will hurt us. You think about a blind person. When they cannot see, they are prone to more dangerous situations. They cannot see the person that's riding a bike at them that maybe doesn't pay attention to them. They can't see the book bag even or the toy in the hallway even at the beginning, even when it's daylight. They cannot read the signs, slippery when wet, or watch your step. There are many hidden dangers for them. Life certainly is full of dangers for those that are physically blind, but those that are spiritually blind as well. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth danger, the evil, and hideth himself. Let's actually take our Bible over there to Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, this verse and a similar verse to this is found in the book of Proverbs, and I really enjoy this verse because it teaches us something. If we are willing to foresee these invisible things, and we see where something is going to affect us and how something is going to hurt us, if we have spiritual perception, it will cause us to be able to hide ourselves from the sin. It will cause us to stay away from those life-dominating habits that will trap us into this world. And we see calamity when it comes. It's something that we can stay away from. Proverbs chapter 22, look what it says in verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's saying those that are not willing to see the invisible things, those that do not have a spiritual perception, they are willing to pass on. And you know what? Something bad's going to happen. A Christian that can see the invisible things and see that there is a battle going on for the hearts of man and for the minds of man, they will sit there and they will look ahead and say, you know what? There's a danger in that activity. There's a danger with being caught up with this or caught up with that. There's a danger in having that friendship. There's a danger in missing church. There's a danger in not reading my Bible. There's a danger in not praying. There's a danger in not giving. And I'm going to see the danger that's ahead. I'm going to see the evil. And you know what? I'm going to hide myself from it. I'm going to stay as far away from that as I can. I'm going to flee you from us. I'm not going to mess around with it. But it says here, but the simple, the person who does not see the invisible things, the person who does not have spiritual perception, they pass on. What does that mean? That means they go right at it. Oh, what's the big deal? They ask. Or why is that such a big deal? Or how is that going to hurt us? Proverbs says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, what does that mean? That means the person that is simple, the person who chooses not to see the invisible things, the person who chooses not to enter the battlefield, the person who chooses to only live by sight and live by their flesh and live by their desires, say, I don't see what the big deal here is. I don't see why this is that important. I don't see where this is going to cause problems. The simple, they pass on. You think about it, where the Bible says, the way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, let's keep on going in these verses here. It says in verse number 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. But listen to this, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. That's what the Bible's saying. The person who is simple and they pass on, they will face thorns, they will face snares. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. If you're willing to see the invisible things of God, you'll stay away from those things. But a person that has spiritual perception can see that there's difficulties ahead. Those who are prudent, they will avoid them. But the path of the spiritually blind will be filled with hidden traps. what seems to them like a momentary indulgence and an innocent pleasure become life-dominating habits that hold them in ever-constricting traps, and sadly, they never see the calamity coming, and many do not even recognize the entrapment even while they hold its own cords, and they say, I don't see what the big deal is, and they are heading on. They are foreseeing, not foreseeing the danger, not foreseeing the evil. They are passing right by it, and they're just taking part of it, and they're destroying their own lives. Life is more dangerous when we can't see. You think about the harlot advances when it refers to the simple man, when it says, go after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver and a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. The fact that he knoweth not means that he does not have spiritual perception. It means they choose not to believe. They choose not to see the invisible things. It's sort of like an individual who's going to a medicine cabinet. You know, you have kids and sometimes they're interested in things that mom and dad do, and as they get into the medicine cabinet, they would think it'd be fun to play mom and dad and maybe take part of the pills or take part of the ointment. They do things that are frivolous and they don't see the danger and understand what the danger is. And spiritually unsensible believers, they pop and they do things, they take medicine and drugs in a sense that think, hey, what's the big deal about this sin or that sin? I can do this. Is this, where does it say in the Bible, I can't watch this? Where does it say in the Bible, I can't listen to this? Where does it say in the Bible, I can't wear this? Where does it say, they ask questions like that. You know, it's sort of like if I have a headache, I turn around and maybe I'll go to Miss Nikki, who is our resident nurse here, and I'll say to her, is it okay to take some ibuprofen here? It's legal for me to take this ibuprofen. There's nothing against the law. I can buy it on over the rack, on the shelf, whatever you call it. And, you know, Miss Nikki, being discerning as a nurse, might say, well, it's okay you take, but how many do you plan on taking? You're not supposed to take the whole bottle at once. It might be right for you to do, but, you know, that might not be the reason what's causing your headache. Yes, legally you have the right to do this, but it could do more damage to you than good. If you take it with too often, or if you take too much, or if you take it with the wrong type of symptoms, or if you take it for too long, these things could be dangerous. And you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? Just because you might be able to legally, technically be able to participate in some type of activity, I am telling you it's important that we have see the invisible things, that we look and have spiritual perception, and that we look, and that is dangerous not to see the invisible things of this world. And it's important that we understand to make right choices in the visible world means that we must be spending much time in the invisible world with the Lord. Now, you know, it's important that we understand that there's dangers in not seeing the invisible things. But there's also, it's discouraging. Life is more discouraging when you can't see the invisible things either. See, life can be really dangerous. It can be really dangerous when you do not see the invisible things. But life can be really discouraging when you choose not to see the invisible things. I think about the story of Paul and Silas. If that happened to many of us, we would get out of jail the next day. We would demand our rights of being Roman citizens, and we'd give up and say, it's not worth it. The people I'm trying to reach, those are the people that beat me. But there's also the people that he won to Christ. See, if we do not believe to see the goodness of God and see the invisible things, we will become discouraged. Difficulties and dangers increase. Temptations come, and we are discouraged to want to give in and give out. You think about a blind person and blind individuals, and I haven't done a lot of research, but a lot of reading, it's very easy to become discouraging sitting in the dark and not knowing what's going on. And that's what happens many times with many Christians, is a spiritual blindness in believers can be very discouraging. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter, I believe it's chapter number 1, where he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, a person that was not lacking, the person that was lacking the fruits of the Spirit, talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, is like he was blind. He could not see the things afar off. It's like he forgot that he was ever saved. He said, what are you getting at? If you choose not to see these invisible things, you're going to become discouraged. You're going to forget that you were ever saved. And you're going to even have people question your salvation. You're going to question whether or not God loves you. You're going to question whether or not God is in control. You're going to question whether or not what you're doing is worth it all. Seeing the invisible things are important. Seeing the goodness of God in all. Seeing the love of God. Seeing the protection of God. Seeing the purpose of God. Seeing, believing to see those invisible things. Because if you choose not to see those things, you know what? It's a dangerous place to live. Because if you're not prudent enough with enough spiritual perception that you can't foresee what God's trying to do in your life, and you just keep on passing on, keep on going to that sin, there's destruction coming. But it's easy to get discouraged. You ever met someone who was a Christian and they turn around and they get discouraged because things didn't go their way? They believe that there's a God. They believe He created the heaven and earth. And even some that are says that they're Christians and they believe in the Lord. But they become to the spot where they become discouraged because the world has not turned out the way that they thought it should. Discouragement sets in. They spiral downward to despair. And because of the growing prevalence of the society today, we think about how many people live in darkness and despair because of the fact they don't believe to see the invisible things. They don't see God's in control. They don't see that God's hand is in it all. They don't see how God has worked in their life in the past and how God made things happen and how God answered their prayers. And they become discouraged. See, part of the problem is life is not supposed to work without God at the center. People don't forget this. They turn around and it's like, man, I can't believe all these things are happening. I can't believe this has happened and this has happened. This has happened. God did not design our lives to be blessed. God did not design our lives to work if He's not at the center. See, when God is at the center of it, then you're going to be able to see and believe these invisible things. And you're going to see how God has taken everything and worked together. Like a Paul and Silas, they're going to be able to sing at midnight. Like Elisha, he's going to be able to see, even though the temptations and the protection does not look like it's there. God is always there. And life is not supposed to work without God at the center. Those who try to do so, even Christians, can maintain only an artificial facade of hope and satisfaction. The grim reality is that the emptiness of life without God at the center pushes itself into consciousness once again. And when the music stops, when the drugs wear off, when the friendships fail, we're going to come to this spot and realize that there is true emptiness without God. We need to cry for God and cry for His light. Ask Him to help us. See, reflection without illumination equals despair. Reflecting on the things of this world without believing in the Scripture, you're going to end in despair. When you see the way the things of the world are going today, and you're like, okay, what is going on in this mess? Those terrorists that killed 100 or so in Paris, or those that do this and people chop people's heads off. If you do not have illumination, if you do not have the ability to believe in the Word of God and what God has taught us, you are going to be in despair. You're going to walk around discouraged. You're going to wonder what tomorrow is going to hold. You're going to have things such like midlife crisis. You're going to have things that are just going to challenge people. And there's despair and discouragement that will come when we choose not to see the invisible things. So how do we wrap this all together? What are you seeing today? Are you seeing the stories like Moses that had the choice between affliction and pleasure and saying, you know what? I see what that pleasure could do for me. I see what that pleasure could do to me. I'm choosing affliction versus pleasure. Are we seeing the stories like Elisha's servant that needs his eyes open to realize that God is protection and God's in control? Are we believing to see the invisible things and looking past the wounds and looking past the hurts and looking past those things that people have tried to harm us with and still able to have joy and still able to sing at midnight? So often we want our rights. So often we want to be treated right, and we just choose not to believe to see. We don't see the invisible things. We don't see how God's working. Instead, we demand to be taken and treated rightly. And that's something our soul desires. But when we choose to see the invisible things, we know God can take those injustices, like in the story of Joseph, and work it out for His good. You might have meant it as evil, but God can take that and turn it to be good. So remember, Those things that we don't see, they can hurt us. Remember that not being able to see the invisible, it's a dangerous spot. Just as there are some things that are dangerous around us that we do not see, we need to be careful to be sensitive to God and the perception spiritually. The prudent man seeth the danger, seeth the evil, and hideth himself. Don't be that simple person. And don't be discouraged. I've been around some Christians that are facing huge obstacles. And they are bright. They are excited. They're living for the Lord. They might be in pain. They might be headed towards an early grave, but they are still praising the Lord. But I've also seen Christians get down. Is it easy to do? Yes. Do we throw pity parties for ourselves? Yes. I throw some myself at different times when I stop seeing the invisible things. When I start seeing the circumstances, woe is me. Boy, life does not look very bright. But when I stop looking at the circumstances and look at the one that's in the one who's invisible. Isn't that what Moses said? He chose to forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, because he chose to see him who was invisible, looking for those invisible things. Tonight I pray that we have that type of spiritual perception and we be looking for the invisible things, not letting this world dictate us, but instead asking God to help us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.